Wednesday night, Lord willing. Oh, what happened? Oh, that's today. Sorry, yes. For all the church council members who are here, of which we're missing a few, we'll see if we have a quorum when the time comes or not. Quick meeting after church, just a quickie. Okay. And then the potluck follows or starts at the same time. And so it smells good in the kitchen. I think we got plenty of good stuff to share. And then Wednesday night, studying in the book, starting in James, chapter 1, yes. Okay, well studied, yes, been reading ahead. Friday, there's going to be a setup from 9 to whenever we get finished for the fall giveaway out back there for Helping Hands Healing Hearts. And so we could use as many hands as on deck we could get. That's a picture from last year, of course. So that's Friday starting at 9 and then Saturday from 9 to 1. Next Sunday, we'll be looking at Isaiah's inspired insights, of which there are some good ones. Yes. Always good in God's Word, right? Okay, and 2 weeks from today, I think it is 2 weeks, yesterday, another wood gathering or harvest out at the Hawkins Ranch for Helping Hands Healing Hearts. Again, appreciated those that helped the last time. Anyone's welcome. You don't have to have a chainsaw. There's need for people just to throw wood and stack and haul that stuff too. So anyway, 2 weeks from yesterday. We'll remind you about that coming up. Front of your bulletin, pursuing a Proverbs perspective today, out of Proverbs. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Buy the truth and do not sell it, wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Our focus on receiving the Lord's perspective, which is wisdom, today. We open our hearts as we begin. Father, as always, we are filled with joy and gratitude to be able to come into your house. I was glad when they said, come into the Lord's house. And thank you again, Lord. We have that freedom today. Thank you for each one that is here and others may be coming. We pray, as always, your blessing and anointing in our midst. We all want to just honor and glorify you, give you our gratitude, our thanks, by offering ourselves back to you in service. Open our hearts and our minds to your wisdom, to your insight, your perspective. We need it badly in these days. And so we thank you, Lord, that you offer it to us. We want to honor and glorify you through all of it in your Son's name. Amen. All righty, stand and greet someone like Noni, who just walked in, that you haven't had a chance to yet. Uh-oh. Okay, there we go. Alrighty, who's the king of your heart today? I heard one good answer. Jesus. I heard a second good answer. Who's the king of your heart?
Jesus.
Jesus. Okay, let the king of my heart. Alrighty. Well, I just realized that the ladies that normally are in here getting things, you got it worked out. Whoa. Okay. I would make a bad joke and say, well, she finally did something, but that's a bad, that's wrong. Take him to the city wall and stone him for that one. Bad. Don't follow that example. That was okay. Worse than ever? Was that the worst as it's been? Wisdom. Oh. Let's get into Proverbs real fast because I'm sure it says something about that. All righty. Well, thank you, good wife, for what you're doing. And now I realize I got my glasses all kabugulated. Does it look really funny this morning? Is it okay? It always does. What's new? Oh, the love. Just feel the love. I'm glad that you all are one with my kind of love. There we go, right there. Hollis, I'm still trying to work this out. You got it all crooky on me, and even 2 weeks later, I'm still trying to work it out. Okay, we're back in our theme for the year, 2020, vision in 2020, and today we're going to pursue a Proverbs perspective. And of course, the person that helps us with that is considered the wisest man to live up until Jesus' time, and that was Solomon. And we're going to consider a few of the words of wisdom from Solomon. And the first thing we're going to do is to discover that in pursuing a Proverbs perspective, first thing we do is to find a true treasure. We kind of touched on it a little bit this morning already in our worship, but a true treasure, fill in the blank. I think you just have to push a button down, arrow down or something to fill that in, D. There it is. All right. True treasure. What does Solomon have to say in Proverbs chapter 2, Alan?
Indeed, if you call out for insight, cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you.
Yes. All righty. So we're looking for wisdom. We're looking for understanding, knowledge, discernment, discretion, all of that good stuff. What does Solomon say we should do in order to gain that sort of thing? Yes, true. Okay. But more than, and not only that, there's something we have to do. Search for it. He says, if you call out, if you cry aloud, if you look for it, if you search for it as with hidden treasure, then, he says, these things will be given to you. So God offers a lot of good stuff to us, including wisdom, knowledge, understanding, all that sort of thing, his perspective in life. But we have to respond and we have to search for it. We have to cry out for it. We have to want it. Basically, enough to where we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Again, as we touched on earlier, then these things come freely to us. And that true treasure that we're looking for is there available. But we have to take not the initiative, but to respond to God's offering for that in order for us to gain it. Solomon knew what he was talking about, as you know. Back when he was about to become king, God said, ask me anything that you want. I'll give you anything you want. What did Solomon ask for? Did he ask for riches and fame and gold and all that? No, he asked for understanding and discernment, wisdom to govern who he saw as God's people. He knew it was a big, big responsibility, and he wanted to do it right. So he asked for wisdom. God was pleased with that, of course. We see in 1 Kings chapter 3 God's response.
So God said to him, since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands as David your father did, I will give you a long life. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. He spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs numbered 1,005.
Wow. That's a lot of wisdom that God spoke through Solomon. Granted Solomon's request, but said, because you've asked for this, I'm going to add this onto you as well. That's the way God works. Seek first his kingdom, and all of these things will be added to you as well. Doesn't mean we're necessarily going to be as wealthy and famous and all that as Solomon was. God's got a purpose for each and every life. But the key is we seek first his kingdom. We desire a knowledge of him above all things and let the rest be what he desires in our lives. And of course, he had more to say about this true treasure. We see a little bit more in Proverbs 16 and following.
How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. Bide in the truth and do not sell it. Wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her.
Nothing I desire compares with you. Yes? Okay. What did Jesus have to say about it? He encouraged us to seek true treasure as well, did he not? Matthew chapter 13.
The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Yeah, it's more precious than anything. If you find it, you're going to just want to hang on to it for whatever it takes. This is it. This is what life is all about. And everything else, you know, just is added on to it. But finding that true treasure is what Jesus encouraged us to look for as well. Paul later would write about how this true treasure can be present even in these jars of clay that we live in. That's in 2 Corinthians 4.
For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body.
So what is the true treasure? It is the life of Jesus that lives in these jars of clay, even in these weak, crumbling, you know, we don't have to go there, right? We all know. We all live in it. But how precious is it that the life of Jesus, the most true and precious treasure of all, lives in this jar of clay, lives in your jar of clay. Only God could think of something like that and make it possible and real as we open our hearts to him. Paul then goes on to remind us that only the Spirit of Christ living in us enables us to experience this kind of treasure. 1 Corinthians 2.
spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments.
For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah. So if the Spirit of Christ is living within us, we have the mind of Christ. We have his perspective. We have his judgment on things. And it's not a critical, judgmental attitude toward others. It's being able to discern and see things truly from God's perspective. And even Jesus on the cross, when he was being crucified, said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." He had the right perspective, the right judgment on those people and for us as well. And if his Spirit is living within us, then we can have the same mind and heart of Christ in relationship to others, in relationship to all the things of the world, and all the craziness, and sometimes the uncertainties, the mysteries. God is able to give us his perspective and to be able to see truth, the true treasure in all of that. Secondly, then, Solomon reminds us that in order to, we must have a fixed focus in that in order to keep our pursuit of Proverbs perspective in line. Proverbs chapter 4.
Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Be careful, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your feet from evil. A discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth.
And this is the challenge for us, isn't it? I mean, to be able to receive Christ in his Spirit is one thing, and it is wonderful. However, we still live in jars of clay. We still live in this world. We still are fighting spiritual warfare against an enemy who's trying to distract us, trying to get our minds off of, away from the Lord and all of his kingdom business. So look to the left, look to the right, look at the world, you know, all that's going on, and really lose our focus. We must make a conscious choice not only to receive him and to seek that, but also to keep the focus on him once we've got it. Sometimes we're going to get distracted, get back on track like that. It is a conscious choice that we make day by day, moment by moment. Solomon's father David expressed his own pursuit of this in a prayer in Psalm 119.
Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find a light. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word.
Yeah, and may this be our prayer as well. David recognized the key to being able to keep his eyes on the Lord and focus on him, his word. God has provided his word for us, provided his Spirit for us. That's really all that we need. But again, it's just our conscious choice to keep that as our focus. Jesus, of course, also stressed focus of our eyes in Matthew chapter 6.
The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?
Yeah. Jesus was not only talking about our physical sight, because that is important in what we look at and what we take in and what we think about. But of course, the eyes of our heart is the key to it, what we do with what we see physically. And then as it is used in our lives, the thoughts, the words, the actions, all of that stems from that. And so the eyes of our heart must be pure and clean and focused on him. Paul then adds a fixed focused prayer for us in Ephesians chapter 1.
I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And this is my prayer, that you love me abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
Yeah. Do you see how this just continues to work, that as we open our hearts to the Lord and the eyes of our hearts are open and we receive him, it gives us that discernment to know what is best, but also it keeps us pure and blameless. It enables us to bear the fruit of righteousness, to be full of the fruit of the Spirit. And so the Lord makes it clear to us how this works. And it always comes down just to the fact that we acknowledge that what he has offered to us is true. It is a treasure that we desire and we seek after, and we keep our focus on that, and the Lord does the rest through his Spirit in our lives. The writer of Hebrews then offers a therefore from those who have gone before us for our own fixed focus in Hebrews chapter 12.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
Yeah. So all of us have lost loved ones, and we consider them to be a part of that great cloud of witnesses that have run their race. It's finished, but they're watching us. They're encouraging us. They're praying for us, along with Jesus himself praying for us. We're running our race. We're doing our best to persevere to the end and to be able to finish well, pure and blameless and all of that. But again, it comes down to where's our focus? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter, the beginning and the end of our faith. And when we do that, he helps us with all the rest of it. Keeping the focus on him is the key for all of us, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We do get weary and lose heart, don't we? Every one of us have experienced that. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus, who open our hearts again to his infilling, and he gets us back on track, and he brings us encouragement and refreshment and strength that we don't have ourselves. Finally, Paul echoes this matter of not growing weary and lose heart with his own therefore in 2 Corinthians 4.
Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outward we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentarily troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Yeah. So we fix our eyes on him, and as Paul says, the writer of 2 Corinthians, for a light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. We can get discouraged, we can get depressed sometimes, we feel weighed down by the things of life, but Paul reminds us that these actually are helping to achieve for us an eternal glory that far outweighs whatever we have to deal with in this life. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we fix our focus on him, we receive his perspective to be able to deal with the things of life, we conquer, we are triumphant, we are victorious through all of it, and it adds to the glory that awaits us in heaven. And so if we do that. As I said, God keeps his part, and all the rest of it is gravy, so to speak, on top of the potatoes. Again, not only for our own benefit, but for the sake of those that we love and care for and have an influence in. So pursuing a Proverbs perspective comes down again to this, keeping our eyes on Jesus, turning our eyes on him, not the things of the world. And when that happens, we are able to receive what God offers to us, and it helps us to fix our focus on that which is true treasure, not the stuff of the world, not the things the devil wants to offer to us. And so my encouragement to you today is to respond as I am responding. I want to turn my eyes to Jesus again today. There's an old song, kind of a favorite song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. But this version of it has some new verses that to me are really beautiful and insightful. And so I encourage you to sing along and learn some new verses to this song. Let's stand together as we turn our eyes upon Jesus. Gratitude, thankful Lord that you enable us to gaze upon you and not be blinded. Thank you Lord for that miracle in itself. You are so awesome and glorious. The human eye cannot look upon you, but the eyes of our hearts can. You've made that possible. Thank you Lord. And so we renew our love for you today. And again, not only in word and song, but Lord, from what's the depths of our hearts, we offer back to you. May that include everything in our lives so that you have total control. We give total surrender to you. Thank you, Father, that as we do so again, you refill us, you give us new insights, you help us to see more and better. Deeper, wider, longer, higher, all that. Thank you, Lord. What a marvelous blessing and privilege it is to be your children and to share your love together in this part of your body and family. We're thankful, Lord, to be able to not only lift our praise to you, but petitions as well. And we just pray that you would continue to grant your healing for Roger Clark. Thankful that he's home. And out of the hospital and doing better. We consider that an answer to prayer and give you credit for it. And for little Colton, pray your continued healing for him. For Don, that is not able to be with us today. We're thankful that Dee is here and Cindy and Beth Ann and Joanna, all of these that we've been remembering and lifting up to you. You know the needs there, and we're thankful, Lord, that you're working your will in their lives as they keep themselves open to you. I also want to lift up the Lloyd Boyle family to you, the loss of Lloyd and that family. We pray the comfort of your spirit and guide and direct and bless me as I minister with them. Thankful for this opportunity to share the hope of eternity with this family. And Lord, we lift up Sherry to you and pray for her diverticulitis. And ask your healing touch for her. Thankful, Lord, that she's looking to you and that as she continues to, you will fulfill your promises in her as well. For Mike and Frida with Mike and his ongoing needs, Lord, we just pray that you'll help them to kind of get these medications figured out and you can work through them, but also, Lord, for your direct healing touch for him that will be a witness of your work in their lives. We lift up this Mike Egan that Mike Williams shared with us. Thankful for the provision you've made there. Pray your continued blessing in what lies ahead for him. Thank you, God, that you know these and other concerns even before we lift them to you, and you're working your will as we open our hearts and surrender them to you. As always, we know you're listening and hearing other expressions of praise and petition from your people this morning.
Father, I lift my son up to you, right? He is doing your job, your kingdom, for your
yes.
kingdom. And he's starting a new way of doing it tomorrow. He's all the help to get from you, dear Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Father. Bless Ron and Christine both, and as they are partners together in kingdom work in different aspects of it, Lord, that you'll continue to prosper them as you have in the past. We give you praise for it.
Father, be with these children that are here today.
Yes.
I'm deciding what they're going to do, and when they do decide, it's still going to be a challenge to everyone. You and each of the parents are Baptist too.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
And Lord, help us to remember that our whole lives matter.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Father. Father, also lift up Sue and her family and others of that family that are sharing family time together with relatives that have traveled, and thank you for a safe travel you gave them. I pray your blessing that their family time might be rich, and that they all would be caused to look to you and give you praise for your goodness in this time. And other unspoken concerns, you know, we just entrust it all to you, Father. Thank you for the time of food and fellowship that will follow. We pray your blessing on the food to our bodies, and what we share together will be honoring and glorifying to you, and be a blessing to you as well. We give you praise for it in your Son's name. Amen. All right. You